The Natural Nurse with Ellen Kamai and Dr. Z, Mondays at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Thank you so much for joining us today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And this is your host, Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. And as always, we love bringing you the highest level of information that you might be able to learn on natural living. And we have been doing this. I mean, personally, I have been involved in the natural lifestyle since 1964. So as an example of supporting that, my children, who are now 37 and 33, never had an antibiotic and never had a vaccination. And that's because I was able to actually feed them at home. I had a completely off-the-grid farm at the time that they were born, purposefully, to be able to control the kind of foods they ate, the kind of information they received, the kinds of medical care that they got, which was basically herbal and homeopathic. So with that in mind, we have as our guest today, Karen Ranse. And Karen Ranse is a lecturer and nutritional consultant, and she also holds a master's degree in speech pathology from New York University, and has worked as a speech therapist with children of all ages for over 30 years. Karen was able to heal her son from many chronic kinds of conditions, including asthma, ear infections, and allergies, as well as herself from digestive, gynecological, and skin problems by focusing on dietary and lifestyle changes, which, of course, the science is full of why that works, as we represent in all the books we've written, such as Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, and Weight Loss, and the Natural Medicine Chest, and there's so much great information out there. Now today we are focusing on Karen Ranse's book, which actually is a large book of 496 pages called Creating Healthy Children Through Attachment Parenting and Raw Foods. And this book is full of the results of 7 years of research on optimal nutrition and model environmental factors from prenatal care through the teen years. So we're very happy to bring on board today author Karen Ranse. Welcome to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Thank you so much, Ellen. I'm so glad to speak with you today.
Now, I can tell by the list of health issues that you had and your children had that, in fact, living the natural lifestyle was not always the way that you conducted life.
No, we had been vegetarian for many years, but being vegetarian by itself does not necessarily mean that you're living a healthy lifestyle. We ate an abundance of refined and processed foods.
That is such a good point, Karen. I see that with so many people who come in. And I say, do you eat healthy? And they'll say, to my clinic where I see patients, and they'll say, yes, we gave up meat. And it just ends there.
It's just, right, exactly. And, you know, a lot of people give up meat, and then they give up dairy, and they're vegan, and they've moved to that next level and think that that is, you know, the best that they can do. And yet, you know, you can be vegan and be living on potato chips and coffee. And I've seen many vegans get sick because they're just not following a healthy lifestyle. So it really, to me, from what I learned, especially from how my son healed from life-threatening asthma 18 and a half years ago, was that once we started adding an abundance of fresh, ripe, organic fruits and vegetables to the diet, that was what was key. That was what made the difference. And especially with the condition that he had, in addition to the asthma, having chronic ear infections, being in severe pain the first 3 years of his life, and numerous allergies, when we started doing green juices, that was just the most cleansing formula for him. We made green juices every day with cucumber, celery, kale, and apple. And it was like a vacuum cleaning his system. And after about 11 months, the asthma, the ear infections, and the allergies were gone. I even brought him back to an allergist who had tested him a year earlier, and he had been allergic to so many foods and pollens, and we brought him back, and he wasn't allergic to anything anymore.
Yes, we often see that reversal of an inflammatory immune response, which actually is the base of allergies, which seems to be so ignored in mainstream medicine. Isn't it amazing that I bet, I'm just guessing, that your conventional allergist, and even if you go to a digestive specialist with digestive problems like you yourself experienced, no one even asks you what you're eating.
No one asks you what you're eating. And I had cystic acne all over my face and my back for many, many years. And it started when I was an adolescent. And I went to a dermatologist, went to three different dermatologists, actually. And I would ask them, does this have anything to do with what I am eating? And the doctor, dermatologist, always said, all three of them, said, it has nothing to do with what you're eating. You can continue to eat as many cheese doodles as you want. Have anything you want to eat. It's not going to affect your skin. And I learned that that is not correct. In fact, when I went to a vegan diet and got off the dairy, that was already having huge benefits for my skin. And the effects of the skin are very much related to the digestion. And I found that when I stopped eating dairy and when I stopped eating the refined sugars, that my skin totally cleared up on its own. And when I started adding a high amount of fresh plant foods, then my skin was completely clear and started to glow. And that's really the key.
Oh, it so much is. And what's interesting is what led you to experiment with these natural lifestyle choices?
Well, I actually had it in my family history because in the early 1920s, my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, had severe asthma and emphysema. And she was told that she only had a matter of a few months to live. She was so sick, and they didn't have an inhaler at that time or the medications. And apparently they had given her penicillin, but that didn't help. And a brother of hers who was not living in the same state wrote her a letter and told her that he had healed a condition that he had through going to a vegetarian lifestyle and then vegan. And then he added a significant amount of fresh plant foods to his diet so that he was really living a high raw lifestyle. Back then they didn't use the word raw. They called it natural and uncooked. And I still remember as a young child, even when I was 10, 11 years old, I remember my grandmother telling me to talk to my mother and to tell her not to cook everything, to eat my food as fresh and natural as possible. And of course, my sister and I thought that my father and my grandmother were very eccentric because they ate fruits and vegetables, and they ate differently than everybody around us. And I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and I was living on white bread and processed food. So I did not follow what my grandmother was telling me, and she had healed from the asthma and emphysema in the 1920s after reading a book called The Mucusless Diet Healing System by a German professor named Arnold Ehret, E-H-R-E-T. And that book really helped her to understand that the food that we consume needs to be the freshest, the most local, and the purest that we can find, and that fruits and vegetables are the food for man. So I learned from her, and it stuck with me in my subconscious. I didn't follow it until much later on when my second child was sick, and that's what brought me back to it after trying all kinds of other, I tried doctors and all kinds of other alternatives as well, and nothing was really helping my child until we looked at what we were eating.
And isn't that great? Now, so no doctor mentioned that to you. I guess you didn't have the good fortune of coming across a holistic physician.
I did go to a couple of holistic physicians, and they were helpful as far as starting to change your diet. But I think in my son's situation, his asthma was so bad that we really needed to go to very, very watery, natural whole foods, such as, you know, I was talking about the green juicing. And that was really, I think, for him, the most beneficial thing that we did was the green juices and smoothies, where we combined the greens with the fruit. And it was like a vacuum cleaning him out. It was really quite dramatic and amazing, and that's what gave me the passion to write about it. And now I'm speaking all over the country. I'm traveling and doing talk and book tours for the past year. I've actually been teaching a class for the last 13 years, but traveling a lot in the last year or so to try to let people know that there's no reason that children have to have these chronic ear infections and multiple allergies, and even learning problems are healed, or children make great improvements from going to fresh plant foods. Even having some cooked food and some plant food, increasing the amount of plant foods in the diet makes a huge difference. And I'm a speech pathologist specializing with children who have learning disability, attention deficit disorder, and autism. And I have seen some dramatic improvements in the area of concentration and being able to focus to learn.
Tremendous, yes. We actually had a guest on recently who's a registered dietitian, and she's the head person at a facility where they make 6,000 meals a day, and for a group of people who are actually incarcerated and mentally ill. So they, of course, have all kinds of health problems, and she has been able to document an improvement in both health and behavioral issues through turning the entire facility into gluten-free, allergy-free, organic, whole foods cooking.
Wonderful.
That is so wonderful.
We need more places like that.
Oh, yeah. And even more importantly, of course, to some people in the industry, she brought it in under cost. For what they were doing with the, very highly processed junk food diet.
Wow,
so there's
fantastic.
So much that we can do.
There's so much that we can do, and I'm always recommending, wherever I speak, I'm recommending for people to get out there and speak, talk to people, explain to them the power in changing the diet. Margaret Mead always said it's easier to change your religion than to change your diet. And
well,
so
how did
many
your
people
children deal with
are
it?
Resistant.
How did your own children deal with that when you started to make such fast changes?
My children were quite young. They were 3 and 5. But even at those ages, children are well aware because they've been eating a certain way. For us, I mean, as I said, we already were vegetarian, but we weren't eating healthfully. And when I instituted this change, it was very difficult for my husband. He's half Colombian and half Swiss.
So they eat a lot of meat.
Yeah, and so it was a big change. And I said, I'm sorry, but you know, my child is sick and this is just what I'm doing. I really just knew I had to take hold and I had to be the one to make the difference.
And that's a very important aspect that you're bringing out. And Karen, we're going to just take a little break here, but I do want to tell people that your website is superhealthychildren.com. And it's packed full of information, both about your book and lots of other stuff right there on the website at superhealthychildren.com. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. I want you to know that you are listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Gary Knowles Network, ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. And we will be right back with more. Stay tuned. And thank you so much for joining us right here on Progressive Radio Network, Gary Knowles Network. I am Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, and you can find me at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And we have all kinds of information for you, both on the website and on the Facebook page, about many lectures that we give. We also visit various stores such as vitamin shop stores and Whole Foods stores locally, and we do also offer free supplements at many of these lectures, so you can try out really good high quality supplements, and you can come on walks with us in Chinatown and also outside herbal identification classes where you learn to gather and make your own medicine from wild plants and all kinds of other interesting activities. So come on board, and we'd love to hear from you. Today, we have as our guest author Karen Ronzi, and author of a specific book, which is called Creating Healthy Children Through Attachment Parenting and Raw Foods. We've been talking to Karen about her realization of the connection between diet and a healthy lifestyle, and being able to use the knowledge that she has brought together in helping others have the same fabulous health results that she herself and her family were able to manifest. And the best way to find her book and her information is at www.superhealthychildren.com. That's superhealthychildren.com. Now, Karen, we went back in time and talked a lot about, you know, how you came to understand that this is the right lifestyle. And the other subtitle of your book we haven't addressed at all. What is attachment parenting?
Attachment parenting really means following the needs of the child instead of the child having to follow the needs of the adult. When children come into this world, they are still attached to the most important person in their life, the mother. And so one of the first things that I talk about at my lectures in attachment parenting is skin-to-skin contact. Right after a baby is born, the baby should be put to the mother's breast to see if the baby wants to breastfeed. And after that, the baby should not be taken away by medical staff. That is harmful to the baby emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and even physically, to take the baby away from the mother right after it's born, which is common in today's society. What I am suggesting and what attachment parenting suggests is taking the baby and holding the baby against the mother's skin for those first hours, days, and even weeks after the baby is born. And there have been some long-term studies done recently that have shown that this increased skin-to-skin contact of the baby against the mother's skin produces a child who has increased trust and emotional bonding with that mother. They have also found over the long term that these children have increased intelligence scores. So the skin-to-skin contact, and it makes a lot of sense because when a baby is against the mother's skin, the baby feels right in the world, and it decreases cortisol, which is the stress hormone, and it increases the endorphins, the happy hormones. And isn't that what we want for our children? We want them to feel happy and right in the world and secure in their own bodies. And these children, they go out into the world and they are confident and they relate to people and they're very well adjusted because of this early skin-to-skin contact. It's very, very powerful. There are other areas of attachment parenting that are also very important, such as breastfeeding. Just by breastfeeding, a woman is doing skin-to-skin because most of the time the baby is against the mother's skin for breastfeeding. And breastfeeding is extremely important for the baby. That should be the food, the only food for the first year of life, is the mother's milk. It has everything that the baby needs, absolutely everything. And the human being is the mammal that takes the longest to mature. So it only makes sense that the human baby should have a longer breastfeeding period than most animals have because of its longer maturity time. And so I always recommend that the minimum should be 2 years of breastfeeding. But some women have gotten upset when they have, you know, realized that they only nursed their baby for a half a year. And I said, you know what? You nursed your baby. So whatever you can do, the best that you can do to give your child mother's milk, that will create immunity for the rest of the child's life. There have also been some studies done that show the importance of breastfeeding, such as a study that showed that by 9 months of age, that 90% of the bone growth is complete in breastfed babies, whereas formula-fed babies only have 50% of the bone growth complete. So there are a lot of reasons to breastfeed the baby, and we will never know everything that is in mother's milk. It cannot be replaced by something else that is
true, but also
inferior.
I have to say that we always did that because I delivered over 200 babies at home back in the day when there were no birthing centers, and certainly breastfeeding.
Congratulations.
It was looked down upon, and so I myself did breastfeed both of my kids for over 3 years until they were kind of running around.
Wonderful.
And I really always believe that's the best. But not everyone can do that. What about mothers who cannot nurse? I mean, I don't like to leave them feeling guilty.
Right. Of course, of course. And there are some women who absolutely can't nurse, but there are also many women who think they can't nurse. But I have known some fantastic lactation consultants from La Leche League who have gone to the mother's home and have helped them to be able to nurse. So there have been women who have had nursing problems who have been able to get help. So I always recommend that first, to contact your local La Leche League. And they are all over the world now. So that would be first. And then after that, if a woman really cannot nurse her baby and cannot be helped by a lactation consultant, then the next step would be to see if you can find a wet nurse or another woman in your area. There are also a couple of websites where women donate their milk. So it might still be possible to get mother's milk for the baby, and that's always going to be better than giving something like formula. Formula is not on my list at all. After looking for a wet nurse or another mother to give milk to the baby, I would recommend raw organic goat milk. Raw organic goat milk, half organic goat milk, and half juice of celery and carrot. So you would juice half carrot celery juice, half raw organic goat milk, and give that to the baby.
Yes, and I do have a recipe in my book, which is called Cycles of Life, Herbs for Women, one of the many books I've written. And in that book, I do have a baby formula recipe. And, in fact, it does include raw organic goat's milk, if you can get it. And I myself raise my own goats, so I definitely can get it.
Right.
But if people
and
don't
some of
have
the health food stores do bring it in from farmers.
They do. And using the goat's milk, we do often add in extra DHA. We add in extra taurine and other amino acids that we know is very high in natural mother's milk but does not occur either in vegetables or in goat's milk. So to make something very close, and the idea of adding in those juices is great because you're going to increase the minerals and also increase the digestibility. So that's a very nice formula.
Yeah, it's a nice combination. So that's what I recommend if a woman can't get mother's milk from some source. And,
now
the
I'm looking at your book,
fine.
And we're looking at this very extensive list of chapter headings, and people can find it. It's Super Healthy Children. Again, you can go to Karen's website, which is superhealthychildren.com, or I'm sure that your book is also available on Amazon.com.
Yes, Creating Healthy Children is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, it's a very easy book to get. It's beautifully laid out. And we're talking about very deep issues. For instance, you have a whole chapter about the health of the mother and the father prior to conception. And I love the inclusion of the father. Why don't we talk about that?
Sure. I believe that the support of the father is extremely important, even for childbirth, because the mother needs to be in an extremely relaxed, happy state. And when she's in a relaxed, happy, and comfortable state, she will be more in a position to deliver her baby. So the father is very important. And I believe that when the mother has the baby, because she knows she wants to do the skin-to-skin as much as possible, the father is really there as a support person to help the mother so that she can be there to carry her baby. So the meals, the father would be preparing their meals. And they would, you know, hopefully during this time period, eat very simply. And especially because the mother, during pregnancy, she needs to eat the food that is the most digestible and easy on the system. So, you know, I recommend, again, getting a lot of fruits and vegetables into the diet since they're so easy to digest. And the father would be there to support and nurture. And health is not all about food. Food is a very, very big part of it. But there are other aspects, and the mother and the father need to be on the same page as far as getting outdoors together, getting a lot of exercise and sunshine and positivity through being in nature, meditation, yoga. There's so many ways that we can get our needs met, and it's really important if both the mother and the father understand the importance of healthy lifestyle. It's much more difficult if just one person, you know, usually it's the mother who's very interested in creating a healthy lifestyle for her family, and, you know, very often her spouse is not interested.
Well, I've seen it both ways. So let's support our guys, too, because sometimes I've had my own patients who came in, a man, with an issue, a health issue, that was completely taken care of and healed through the same kind of lifestyle interventions that you're discussing, looking at whole foods, using herbs, using homeopathics, getting off the medications, getting off the processed foods, starting to exercise, starting to, well, we don't really say meditate, but it could be some kind of spiritual path. And then
even being out in nature, meditation.
And they want to bring in their whole family then, and they get resistance from their wife. So you're right, it could be one parent.
Yes,
or the
it
other.
Could be that way also. I guess, you know, in my work, a lot of times I see because the mother is coming to me, and sometimes the father's resistant. But I do know men who are very interested in healthy lifestyle, and also it creates a much healthier, more fit-looking body. And that's, men are very interested in fitness. And these days also with books such as, there's a book called Raw Power, and Thor Basler, I mean, he's in fantastic physical condition. He's a bodybuilder, and he lives on fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds.
And he's showing that that's possible, right?
That's right.
Another thing to support our guys.
Exactly.
Another thing to support our guys. Men can see that they
can be very powerful on a diet that is loaded with fruits and vegetables.
Yes, and I'm also noticing that the younger generation of fathers is totally hands-on. I mean, even if they're not, let's say, participating, obviously, in nursing, that they are changing diapers and taking just as much responsibility, much more so than past generations.
Definitely, and many of them are also participating in the childbirth.
Right,
a lot of the midwives have the fathers working along with them, and they're relaxing the women, their wives, during this most important time of their lives.
Yeah, so they've come a long way in not feeling demasculated by participating, both, you know, childbirth, which is, of course, just a short-term little event that's a big event, but it's just a minimum amount of time, to the whole child raising experience and being
exactly
much more involved.
And I have numerous stories in my chapter 28, which is families around the world living high raw lifestyles.
Let's talk about that. What does that mean? What does that even mean? That might be
That means is that these people are striving to live a lifestyle where their diets are abundant in fresh fruits and vegetables. They have given up the animal foods and processed foods, and they're raising their children very naturally. I have families from all over the world writing for that one chapter. There's 30 families. A couple of them include stories of teenagers, which are very exciting stories about teens who found that the raw food lifestyle helped them to achieve more than they could have ever imagined, just as far as mental clarity and energy, and just knowing themselves. I go into colleges and universities these days, and my goal is to speak to the students and to explain to them the importance of incorporating fruits and vegetables and getting the processed and refined foods out of the diet. I went to Penn State University and the University of South Carolina this year, and I brought my Vitamix blender, a big, powerful blender, and I made them pina colada smoothies without the alcohol, and I put in pineapple, banana, spinach, and water, and blended that into a nice fruity smoothie, which was sweet and delicious, and they loved it even though it had a lot of spinach in it. And at Penn State, I had a large class, about 100 students, and I'd say about 80 of them tried the green smoothie, and they loved it. And I told them that if they would have green smoothie every morning instead of their processed and refined breakfast or their breakfast loaded with animal foods, and they had this wonderful smoothie, that I guaranteed that it would increase their energy level and that it would even help them with their mental clarity throughout the day. And they like that because they want to have that while they're doing their studies. And I've even gotten some emails from some of them telling me that this was very effective for them.
Yes, and, you know, following through on something like that is a little difficult when you're at college, because you'd actually have to purchase a machine and have a place to use it and a place to shop and store vegetables.
Right, but you can even purchase a small blender. Like today they have the Magic Bullet, which is a small travel blender. It's very kid-friendly, and it's very easy, even in a dorm style arrangement, to just put it up on the counter, and it will take like 5 minutes in the morning. They don't need a big blender like the one that I have. They can do it in a little blender and just put some fruit and some greens and water in there and make a delicious smoothie that will be, you know, what will help them throughout their day.
and anybody.
Anybody. That's right. Anybody.
Anybody.
I make that smoothie everywhere I go.
So do I. I always bring those things with me since I am on the road so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that is another topic. When you're traveling, how do you eat healthy? Or even, you know, so many people in a normal day feel that the only thing they could possibly get is a Starbucks and a bagel. So what do you tell people?
Okay, well, one thing I tell people is that fruits and vegetables make the perfect fast food. Grabbing an apple or a banana is as easy as grabbing a burger from a fast food place. And bananas are filling. They are, and they do have some protein. Also, they're about 5% complete protein. Every food has some protein. Green leafy vegetables, of course, have loads of protein, so I always recommend green leafy vegetables. But kids especially love dips. So I focused with my children and also on classes that I do for families, I focus on things like dips. And so one of the dips that we make is a really delicious cucumber dill dip, where we have chopped cucumber and lots of dill and a few tablespoons of pine nuts, which make it the dressing nice and creamy. And you can have a little bit more of that to make it thicker for a dip. And celery, a couple stalks of celery, and a couple of dates to sweeten it, and the juice of a lemon. And you blend that all up and make it into a really nice dip. And my kids loved dips, so that they could dip their veggies in it. So I would just very quickly in the morning slice veggies, put them in a bag, a Ziploc bag, and bring them with us wherever we went. And if they were in school, they would bring that to school with a dip in a closed little jug. And it was great. They would eat loads of veggies with the dip during the day. There's also a lot of simple things that you can make for heavier foods to bring with you so that you won't want to run out and grab fast food.
That is the trick, and that's what I tell all my patients is that do not leave the house without food. And
that's
what I
right.
do is actually set it up in my own refrigerator. That might be at home or when I'm on the road. I always stay in hotels that have refrigerators. I have to-go containers set up. So when I leave for the morning, I have organic brown rice cakes. I have things like that, perhaps an avocado dip or hummus with me. And cut up vegetables and an apple. And so when you get that hungry feeling,
you've got your food.
You're not stranded.
Exactly. That's exactly the key, is to have your food with you. Children also love wraps. So for children who are eating some kind of a whole grain bread, you know, and I do recommend gluten-free, dairy-free, and there are plenty of them out there these days, you can get a wrap. There's some rice, nice rice wraps, or rice tortillas. And you can wrap, you can make a guacamole very quickly with some mashed avocado and chopped tomato and chopped cilantro. You can put in a little bit of red onion and a little dash of cumin. Make it real nice and tasty. And put that guacamole, spread it along the wrap, whatever that wrap is, whether it's a rice tortilla, whether it could be a nori, a slice of nori, the kind of nori that you would use for sushi. You can get raw nori, which is really tasty, and you could spread the guacamole, or you could spread a nut butter on it, and then you could layer it with veggies. And this is very quick in the morning. It takes me about 5 minutes to do this. You know, a few minutes to make the guacamole, a few more minutes to make the wrap. And I love the nori. I do it frequently with nori, but I even use collard greens, cabbage leaves as wraps. And so I'll put the nut butter or the guacamole in there and line it with julienned vegetables, cucumber, carrot that has already been shredded or julienned the night before. And I will put it in the wrap that morning so that it's made that morning and it won't be mushy by the time I have lunch or the time that my kids when they were in school would be eating lunch. It would still be nice and fresh. And I also put sprouts in there. Sprouts are loaded with protein. Dr. Brian Clement of Hippocrates Health Institute in Florida actually says that sprouts are the highest source of protein amongst all of the plant sources. So I love putting sprouts in my wraps. And then you just roll it up, and you've got a really nice lunch. So that's one way to go. And the,
well,
as you said, the tips.
Those are all wonderful tips. And believe it or not, we are getting close to running out of time right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And I do want to remind our listeners that you can always find us on Gary Mills Network by going to Progressive Radio Network and then go to Archives, The Natural Nurse, and you will find the show we're doing today with Karen Ranzi, Super Healthy Children is her book. And you
Creating Healthy Children is the book.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Creating Healthy Children is the book, but they can find it at superhealthychildren.com.
And right.
You know, a good way to absolutely find you. You have great articles on there and other information. And people can also comment in our shows, ask us more questions, get in touch for any reason at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. So in closing, Karen, do you have any just like sort of a wise sayings as we sign off today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z?
Yes, I would like to actually focus on nature and just recommend to parents, educators, anyone who has children in their lives, to look out to nature and to talk about nature with children and how animals live. Animals out in nature don't nurse from any other species. They only nurse from their own species. And the largest animals out there, the gorilla and the camel and the horse and the rhino, all these animals, the elephant, they are the largest animals, and they are raw plant vegetarians. So just realize how important it is to incorporate the raw plant foods into your diet and lifestyle. And if you have any questions, you could always contact me at my Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/creatinghealthychildren.
Excellent. And thank you so much for being our guest today. And
thank you so much, Ellen.
Sure. And you can find your show and download it, too. Karen will be right on the website because they do a
wonderful
job of that on Progressive Radio Network. So
great.
Until next time, listeners, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. And as always, on behalf of myself and Dr. Zamperone, we are wishing you the best. Stay healthy.